Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 46. 46 Psalm, you'll find it on page 621 in your Scofield Bible. 621. Read the first seven verses of this Psalm. We'll read the verses responsibly. The text verse is that seventh verse. And may we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. And now on the text verse together, please. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And let's pray. And Father, hundreds and hundreds of times we've gathered here. A lot of folks have been here for a lot of years, some for the entire tenure of our pastor being here. Others of us came along a little later, but we love it here. Thank you for this place, and thank you for meeting with us faithfully. And we implore thee to, once again, find in us a place where thou canst meet and be glad among thy children. Bless our preacher, the preaching, and each listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every word in the Bible, yea, every jot and tittle, which means every punctuation mark, every little jot and tittle in the Bible is placed there on purpose. There is no word, no name, no little statement that is placed there casually. It's there on purpose. Somebody said, you actually believe in verbal inspiration, that is, every word is inspired and preserved. I said, I go further than that. I believe in tittle inspiration. Every jot and every tittle. The Bible says, not one jot nor one tittle shall pass away. And tonight, I want to read you just one verse that you read a while ago, a portion of it, and dwell on two words. Our text says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is thy refuge. I want you to notice here, he's called the Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob. I'll ask you tonight to listen very carefully as I speak on the God of Jacob. Our Heavenly Father, we come again to the same place, to basically the same people, with the same book, with the same wonderful Holy Spirit to lead us. I pray you'd help us as we think of this one little line, the God of Jacob is with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Two statements in my text amaze me. The first statement is the Lord of hosts. Let's look for a moment at the word hosts. What does it mean? It is first used in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 concerning the host of the stars. The host, multitude of stars. A host in the Bible means a multitude of similarities, things that are similar, like a host of people, a host of angels and so forth. But here, it is used first in Genesis 2:1, and again in Isaiah 40 and 26 concerning the host of stars. Then, it is used secondly in the Bible concerning angels. In 1 Kings 22:19, we have the term the host of angels. And likewise in Luke chapter 2:13, it talks about a multitude of angels. So the word host is used concerning the stars. It's concerning angels. Thirdly, the word host is used concerning Israel. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 41, when Israel was delivered miraculously from the Pharaoh and the Egyptian bondage and were marching toward and across the Red Sea on dry ground, the three and a half million Jews were called a great host. So get this. God is the God first of the stars. That's the Lord of hosts. That means he's the God of the galaxies, with stars so numerous that they're seen as specks upon the brow of evening time. God is not only that, he's likewise the God of the multitudes of angels. He commissions them as servants and commands them to battle and marshals them as messengers. He also is the God of nations, of millions of people, the God of hosts, the Lord of the multitudes of angels, the Lord of the multitudes of stars, and the Lord of the multitude of his people. So this phrase, God of hosts, tells us that God is absolute, he is sufficient, and he's superior. He's the God of the heaven, that's the stars. He's the God of the earth, that's nations. And he is the God of everything between heaven and earth, the stars, the angels, all the way to nations on earth. So he is the God of the host of stars. He is the God of the host of angels. And he is the God of hosts of men. So the first part of this verse reminds us of the glory of our great God. I wish I had the tongues of men and of angels tonight to talk to you about the wonderful glory of our great God. I wish I had the time tonight to excite you about how glorious our God really is. In Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night they speak to us, the Bible says. In Psalm 29 and verse 3, he's called the God of glory. In Psalm 8:1, who has set thy glory, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, who has set thy glory above the heavens. In Psalm 105 and verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7, concerning the rebuilding of the temple, he said, I will fill this house with thy glory. I read that verse again this week and dropped to my knees and said, oh God, may it be true about the house where I preach every Sunday morning and Sunday night. May this place be filled with the glory of God, even as was the temple of the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, when Isaiah had that amazing vision of God, he was called, no doubt, into the ministry as a prophet. Isaiah, the Bible said, the whole earth is full of his glory. When Jesus came in John 1:14, it was said of him, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even as the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm saying that we have a glorious God, and glory should be that we sing down at the cross where my Savior died. Glory to his name. And then again, when the shepherds announced the birth of Jesus, they came, and they announced his birth, announced his birth to shepherds by singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In Psalm 72 and verse 19, let the earth be filled with his glory. And in Psalm 130 and verse 5, great is the glory of our God. And in Ezekiel 43 and verse 2, the earth shined with his glory. And in Psalm 21 and verse 5, his glory is great. And in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, concerning the coming kingdom, when Jesus shall rule and reign on the earth, it says the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5, it says, then shall the glory of the Lord be revealed. In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 2, his great glory shall be seen. In Psalm 24 and verse 9, I love this one, it says, lift up ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. And in verse 10, who is this King of glory? The Lord of
host is this King of glory. In Psalm 102 and verse 16, he shall appear in his glory. And of course, we all like that verse in Philippians 2:11. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I can't wait for that day to come when Michael Jackson bows on his knees and proclaims that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I can't wait to see Madonna put on her clothes and bow to her knees and say, Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. I can't wait to see the Prince sing a song about Jesus being Lord, the glory of God the Father. And the Rolling Stones will do homage to the Rock of Ages that was cleft for me. And the porn builder, the porn peddlers, and the liberal theologians shall proclaim that Jesus is Christ to the glory of God the Father. And get ready, Judas Iscariot, and get ready, Pontius Pilate, and get ready, Hugh Hefner, with the dirty, stinking thing that's trying to ruin America. Get ready, Madeline Murray O'Hare, and Thomas Paine, and Bob Ingersoll. One of these days, you are going to bow to your knees, and by the way, so are you. Everybody who has ever lived will someday confess that Jesus is Lord, the glory of God the Father. The thing to do is do it now before it's too late. You're going to do it someday. Do it now. In the model prayer, it closes with, to thine be the glory forever. He's called the King of glory. He's called the God of glory. He's called the Lord of glory. He's called the Prince of glory. He's called eternal glory. He's called the Father of glory. He's called the Spirit of glory. 23 times in the Bible, you have the term the glory of God. 45 times in the Bible, it speaks of His glory. 36 times in the Bible, it speaks of the glory of the Lord. 24 times in the Bible, God uses the term, my glory. 23 times in the Bible, it says, to the glory of God. I'm trying to tell you tonight that we serve a glorious God who is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the hosts of the stars and calls them by name, the Lord of the hosts of the angels who commissions them and charges them with their responsibilities, and the Lord of the hosts of nations. He was glorious in His creation in that it was miraculous. He was glorious in His salvation in that it is complete. He is glorious in His incarnation in that it was wonderful. He was glorious in His birth in that it was virgin. He was glorious in His life in that it was perfect. He was glorious in His death in that it was vicarious. He was glorious in His resurrection, in that it was bodily. He is glorious tonight in His intercession, in that it is priestly. He will be glorious in His return, in that it will be visible. He will be glorious in His kingdom, in that it will be eternal. In His power, because it's omnipotent. In His knowledge, because He's omniscient. In His love, because He's perfect. He is glorious in His word, in that it is preserved. He is glorious in His work, in that it is finished. Let me simply say tonight, by way of a long introduction, our God is an omnipotent, omnipresent, glorious God sitting in the heavens. He's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the stars of the sky, the Lord of the angels, His messengers, and the Lord of the multitudes of nations on the face of the earth. Let me say tonight, we need an old-fashioned revival in our churches of the exaltation of the glory of our great God. Now look at the next statement. The Lord of hosts, it says in our text tonight, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. What a choice of words. The Lord of the angels and the stars and the nations, and then it says the God of Jacob. Looks like He's chosen somebody besides Jacob. I don't like Jacob. I've said this again and again. I don't like Jacob. He's my least favorite Bible character. Judas Iscariot is an angel compared to Jacob as far as I'm concerned. I think Jacob might have been from San Francisco. There's something wrong with anybody that's making chili while his brother's gone hunting. I plan to punch Jacob in his glorified nose the first day I get to heaven. Now, I don't like Jacob, but I like the fact that he said, the God of Jacob. The God of the host. And the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of the hosts of angels. And then the God of Jacob. The Lord of all the universe. And then
the God of Jacob.
The Lord of the hosts of the stars, and then the God of Jacob. The Lord of the hosts of the nations, and then the God of Jacob. I sometimes wonder why he chose the crookedest guy in the Old Testament. I mean, look what he did. Look what Jacob did to Esau. He cheated Esau out of his birthright. That meant that Jacob, for a bowl of chili, and by the way, his Texas chili is a pretty good deal. But for a bowl of chili, red soup, the Bible says he got the double portion of his father's inheritance. He got the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah, and he got the right to be the priestly rights for all the great family, all for any. He tricked him. He cheated him. That isn't all. When his father was sick and blind, he was going to bless Esau as the oldest child. Look at me, young folks over here. I'm preaching to you. Jacob deceived himself. Jacob was a smooth-skinned person. His brother was a hairy fella. Jacob got the skin of an animal, put it on his neck, came to his blind father. His father rubbed his neck and said, yep, that's Esau, okay? And the dirty, stinking crook, deceiver Jacob, tricked his father, his blind father, and got the blessing of Esau. It looks like to me that he would have said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Abraham is our refuge. Why did he choose Abraham? Why didn't he say, God of Abraham, the friend of God? Why didn't he say, the God of David, a man after God's own heart? Why didn't he say, the God of Moses, the servant of the Lord? Why didn't he say, the God of patient Job, or powerful Elijah, or John, the disciple that Jesus loved? Why didn't he say, the God of Peter, the first of the disciples or apostles? Why didn't he say the God of Noah, who built the ark and was a preacher of righteousness? Why didn't he say the God of Samuel, the anointed of kings, or the God of courageous Daniel, or the Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? I'll tell you exactly why. God wants us to know that though he is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent King of kings and Lord of hosts, he is with the least of us. So he chose Jacob. God loved him in spite of his meanness, wrapped him in his protection, filled him with his provision, led him by his Holy Spirit, told him where to lay his head, commissioned angels to perform on a ladder to assure Jacob of God's love. Hey, if God could love Jacob, God loves you. And if God knew where Jacob was that night when the ladder was placed there and the angels of God were going up and down that ladder, God is trying to tell you he knows you. He knows your heartache. He knows your burden. He knows your sorrow. He knows the pain you feel. He knows your needs. He knows your bereavement. I'm saying the great, oh boy, I'd like to shout right now, the great God of the host, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Not just the God of Abraham, not just the God of Moses, not just the God of Isaac, not just the God of Joseph, not just the God of John the Baptist, not just the God of John the Beloved, but the God of Jacob. You would think that God would be far away, wrapped in his own majesty, glistening in his robe of omnipotence, holding hosts of stars in space and place and caring for his mighty universe. But there he is with Jacob, a deceiver. Despite Jacob's failure in life, despite Jacob's wreckage of God's will and his disappointing God, God is telling us tonight that though he is the God of hosts, he is the God of the individual. The God of hosts attends your surgery. The God of hosts dwells at your bedside. The God of hosts tonight is Mrs. Copplefair in her condition of being a shut-in. The God of hosts knoweth every tear that drops from your eye. The God of hosts waits at the graveside. The God of hosts shares your heavy load. The God of hosts knows each star by name. The God of hosts charts the flight of every bird. The God of hosts clothes the lilies of the field. The God of hosts feeds even the unclean raven. The God of hosts knows the plight of every falling sparrow and determines when that sparrow falls and where that sparrow falls. There are no details that are too minute or insignificant to be the object of God's awareness. He sees your empty cupboard and knows your bank balance
I'll never forget when I heard this for the first time. I was a little boy. The ghettos of Southwest Dallas with an alcoholic dad. And my preacher told the illustration. You've heard me tell it. You've heard it told by many preachers. But for the first time I ever heard it in my life, I was sitting out there barefoot. I mean, not a shoe on my foot, not a sock on my feet. And my preacher told the story. And Mother and I were starving to death, literally starving to death. And the preacher told the story about a little boy and his mother. Mother reared the boy alone. And the mother scraped the bottom of the barrel, and the food was gone. And the mother threw her hands up in despair and said, "I give up! I give up!" And the little boy said, "Mama, don't you think God heard you scrape the bottom of that barrel?" Boy, as a little kid in the Southwest Dallas ghettos, I'll never forget how I felt. Oh, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that God overlooks. There's nothing that's news to God. I don't care what it is. The hairs of your head are numbered, the sparrows that fall. He determines where they fall. He clothes the lilies of the field. Let me tell you, that's the God of hosts. Hey, this is the God of the contemporary worshipers. Achoo. Oh, hogwash on that stuff, brother. A mighty fortress is our God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that glorious, mighty God, he knows every need you've got and every burden of your heart tonight. The God of hosts is the God of the lonely. The Lord of hosts is the God of the bereaved. The Lord of the hosts is the God of the unbroken, heartbroken. The Lord of hosts is the God of the backslider. The Lord of hosts is the God of the failure. The Lord of hosts is the God of the rest home. The Lord of hosts is the God of the hospital bed. The Lord of hosts is the God of the widow. The Lord of hosts is the God of the orphan. The Lord of hosts is the God of the mission man. The Lord of hosts is the God of the bus kids. The Lord of hosts is the God of the street people. He's the Lord of hosts. He created the universe that heard the cry of Hagar's illegitimate child. He holds the galaxies in place. And yet he knew baby Moses was in the ark of the bulrushes in the Nile River. He raised pyramidic mountains, and yet heard the scraping of the widow's barrel. He marshals legions of angels, and yet commissions some to encourage a backslidden Jacob. He grasps omnipotence, yet provides the culinary needs of a lone, unclean raven. I'm so glad God said he feeds the raven. The raven was unfit for sacrifice. The raven was a dirty bird. The raven was considered a filth. Didn't say God feeds the peacock. Didn't say God feeds the soaring eagle. Didn't say God feeds the robin redbreast. God feeds the raven. Are you listening to me tonight? I mean, Jacob was a raven, and there are ravens all over this room tonight, but the great God of hosts, the King of glory, he knows you and knows your need and heartache and burden, and accompanies you on every journey to a broken heart. He provides the water for the Niagara, yet noteth one teardrop falling from the eye of one of his children. He paints the sunset, and it gives that same diligence in painting the peacock's wing. He clothes the earth with emerald green, and yet provides the wardrobe of a single little lily in the field. And by the way, the lily of the field was not our Easter lily. You can go to Palestine and find the lilies of the field. They're weeds, like our dandelions. Now, to save my life, I don't know why we cut down dandelions. To me, there's nothing pretty than a field of dandelions. It's stupid, especially if it's my yard. But it doesn't say that God feeds the eagle, he feeds the raven. It doesn't say God clothes the gladiola or God clothes the rose, though he does. But God chose the little old lily of the field, the weed, if you please.
The God of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He charts the course of the mighty sun. It follows the flight plan for the one lone sparrow. He sees all, yet has compassion on the blind eyes of Bartimaeus. My Father, I wrote this in a doctor's office. I was waiting to be checked up, and I was scared to death. And I wrote these words. My Father loves the mountain, but He also loves the hills. He loves the mighty ocean, but He also loves the rills. My Father loves the bouquet, yet He clothes the lonely flower. He loves the years and decades, yet He loves the little hour. He guides the flock while flying, yet notes the sparrows fall. He weepeth o'er the masses, yet hears the infant's call. He paints the sandy beaches, yet numbereth every grain. He notes the salted teardrop as much as mighty rain. While armies march in cadence, He sees each soldier boy. And though He views the garden, each lily brings Him joy. He charts the course of eagles and gives the ravens feed. He gives the mighty harvest, yet He germinates each seed. He guides His constellations, yet knows each star by name. Pleiades and Orion with meteors share their fame. He loves the oratorio, yet enjoyeth every chord. He reads the mighty ballad, yet scanneth every word. He studies every atom and molecule of mass, while in his school he noteth each member of the class. He loves the mighty forest, yet loves the one lone tree. He loves His great creation, and yet loveth even me. When God looks down from heaven, His shepherd of His sheep, He knoweth every pain I feel and wipes the tears I weep. For God so loved the entire world, He gave His only Son. But when it comes to saving men, He does it one by one. But the glory that God wants the most is from you. That's why He made you. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's why God made you, to glorify Him. That's why He redeems you when you fell and sinned, so you could glorify Him. That's why He's preparing a place for you, so you have a place to live while you glorify Him. That's why He's coming again for you, so you can glorify Him. That's what it's all about. That's what salvation's all about. As I said recently, God didn't save you just to get you out of hell. God saved you to get you to heaven. Why? So you can glorify Him on the way and when you get there. My outline is finished. I finished this outline in my study. And when I did, I fell flat on my face and began to weep. And I said, praise God. A mighty fortress is our God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. And yet, the God of hosts is the God of Jacob. The God of the host of the stars is the God of that crooked Jacob. And feeds the unclean raven and clothes the weed of the field. That's our God. He who sits on His throne, high and holy and lifted up. He tonight is your God. And He's my God. Let's give Him the glory that He deserves. Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer?